But why would a rich, socially prominent Bostonian pack up his family and leave America for good? I asked.
Aha, said Peter. That's the curious part.
Peter went on to explain that Daniel Curtis was riding in a commuter train from Boston to the suburbs when he got into an altercation with another man over a seat that had been saved for a third party. Words were exchanged. The other man declared that Daniel Curtis was no gentleman, and in reply, Mr. Curtis twisted the man's nose. The injured party turned out to be a judge, who thereupon brought suit against Daniel Curtis for assault. A trial followed, and Daniel Curtis was convicted and sentenced to 2 months in jail. Upon his release, according to the story, he indignantly gathered up his family, moved to Europe, and never came back. It is only fair to point out, said Peter, that in all the years he lived in Venice, Daniel Curtis behaved like a consummate gentleman. From the moment he and Arianna set foot in Palazzo Barbaro, they made it a gathering place for the best known, most admired artists, writers, and musicians of their day. Robert Browning read his poetry aloud to the Curtises and their guests. Henry James, a frequent houseguest, used the Barbaro as the model for the fictional Palazzo Leporelli in his masterpiece The Wings of the Dove. John Singer Sargent was a distant cousin, and when he was visiting the Barbaro, he painted in the top-floor studio of his cousin, Ralph Curtis, who was also an accomplished painter. Monet painted views of Santa Maria della Salute from the Barbaro's Watergate. Are you getting the picture?
I am, I said.
The Curtis family occupies a permanent place in the cultural history of 19th-century Venice. Their salon became known as the Barbaro Circle, and it included James McNeil Whistler, William Merritt Chase, Edith Wharton, and Bernard Berenson.
And that madwoman from Boston, said Rose, Mrs. Gardner.
Isabella Stewart Gardner, said Peter. The eccentric Boston art collector rented the Piano Nobile from the Curtises for several summers while she was acquiring important paintings for the museum she intended to build in Boston.
She not only rented the Barbaro, said Rose, she copied it.
True, said Peter. She built her Boston museum in the form of a Venetian palace based loosely on the facade of Palazzo Barbaro. One can easily see why Mrs. Gardner was so inspired. The Barbaro is one of the most important 15th-century Gothic palaces in Venice. Actually, it's two palaces. The Barbaro family bought the palace next to it in the late 17th century to provide themselves with a ballroom. One could go on and on about Palazzo Barbaro's architectural and decorative grace notes, but my point is that Patricia Curtis is, first and foremost, the inheritor and guardian of a considerable literary, artistic, and architectural patrimony. She is also, but only very incidentally, a woman who wears white.